Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and on Tucson in particular. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and thanks for joining us. The name of our show is Caridad, Caring in Action, and with me for this next half hour is Kristen Cullany. She is the program manager for Caridad Community Kitchen for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, and the boss of it all. We're glad you're
Thank
here.
You.
Thanks for being with us, kiddo.
Yeah.
I just have to do a quick shout out, a tip. We're really working it on Down to Earth with Mrs. Green about recycling. And this is for our friends at the city and their Do More Blue campaign. And sorry I have to bring this up on national radio, but people, please do not put dirty diapers in your recycling.
Oh, dear.
I know. Oh, dear. Aww. And I know that you may think you're doing the right thing. I don't think people do that to think they're gunking things up, but they are. So if you think you're doing the right thing and putting diapers in your recycling bin, unfortunately you are not. And if you do put them in, you risk contaminating the entire bin. They have to throw it out. And if you care enough to recycle, I know that's not the outcome you're looking for. For more information about what you can put in your blue bin and what you can't put in your blue bin, please visit tucsonaz.gov/do-more-blue. And thanks for being a recycler. So Kristen, thanks for being with us.
I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
We have a lot to pack into this show because I went down to visit your site and I said, we have to do a show about this because I call it the whole green enchilada. It's a lot of pieces that are really reflective of a caring community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of pieces. Yeah. And great success. On and on and on. So tell us what Caridad means.
Sure. Caridad is a Spanish word that means charity.
And you say it better than I do.
Caridad. I've practiced.
Caridad.
Yes. I used to say Caridad, which is not incorrect. And people still say that once in a while, but I try hard to honor that it is a Spanish word.
I can't quite roll my R, but
yes,
Caridad. And it's a beautiful word.
It is a very beautiful word. And it's a word that's been with the program since it started at a church across the street from us in the 90s. So we honored that when it came and rolled into what the food bank has now as a community
kitchen.
So
what were they doing?
Holy Family Church is a church based in just north of downtown along the Tucson Homeless Corridor, which is sort of informally known as a very passionate Latin-based church. They had a priest there who saw the need for wanting to feed people in this area. And so they started at the time, it was called Caridad de Pobres, so charity for the poor. And it was essentially a soup kitchen, what you would typically think of a soup kitchen. That priest passed away, and a group of like-minded people kept the poorest going and tried to make it as sustainable as possible, but realized they need more help with fundraising and general operating funds. And so they approached the food bank in, I think, 2010. 2011 is when it became Caridad Community Kitchen and officially a part of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
I mean, it's a really good story, and it is about... To me, I don't know if you agree with me. I would think you would, that I go around the country quite a bit. I'm involved in food recovery networks. I'm on the national board of the Food Recovery Network and get a lot involved with food waste and whole food, food security, food insecurity, the whole thing. And our food bank seems to me a bright spot, thought leadership, not just giving out food to people that are hungry.
Right.
This is a part of it.
Yep.
So on purpose and intentional where you're really involving every component of a socioeconomic wheel. So let's talk about the core component, the meal sites. You cook the food in the kitchen. You get to talk and tell us about
it. Okay, I'll tell you all about it. So I would agree with you. Our food bank is very progressive. We have a lot of great thought leaders on our team, our leadership team, all the way down, trickle down to just your employees that have that mission for feeding people in need. And that can look like many different things. I think most people think of feeding people in need is you go to a food pantry and you get a box and it's rice and beans and peanut butter and bread, and that will sustain you for 3 days. And there are gaps in that. That is the reality is nowadays, yes, that holds people for 3 days, but what more can we do? And so Caridad is lucky to be part of what's considered our community food resource center, and it addresses everything from self-empowerment, long-term sustainability, how do we engage people so that they can take control of their own food security. So the garden program is part of that, our Las Malpitas farm is part of that, our farmers market and local food brokerage is part of that, and Caridad is also part of that. So Caridad...
That sounds like four more shows I have to
do. You do. You might want to have our director
on. Like, bang, bang,
yes,
bang. They're all really important,
really
though,
amazing,
and I hear about all of them
missions.
Out in this community.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Caridad, we do what I like to say, three things in one. One of the biggest thing is that we prepare and distribute over 15,000 meals a month to the hungry and homeless in our community. And I say hungry and homeless because the two are not the same. Sometimes people are homeless and hungry, and other times people are hungry but not homeless. And so we see a lot of people coming and getting hot meals, much like you would get from your mom's home cooking.
Right.
To a sack lunch that's easily to pack in a backpack and walk away with. But we see more and more nowadays the working poor, and those are moms and dads and families and aunts and uncles and grandparents who work and try hard but just can't bridge that gap between paychecks or between benefits. And this time of year, unfortunately, we see a lot of families with kids because free and reduced lunches are out. And so to be able to provide that, and it's not once a month, it's every day. There's a place where you can go to get a meal. And so that's a huge part of what we do, but how we do that is really innovative and neat. There are other models of this throughout the nation, but we run a culinary training program for...
So awesome.
Yeah.
Like, so awesome.
Yeah. So that students learn while they prepare meals for the public. And that is the core of really what Caridad is about. And it's great because we get students from all spectrums of life, 18 or older, and we really say experiencing some barrier to employment. So you can imagine what's a barrier. It can be themselves and just never really learned how to grow up and be mature and have a career, to incarceration, to single moms who are like, I need to figure out how to make an income. So those individuals in our program, they go through 10 weeks of intense culinary training, job and life skills training.
In a beautiful, professional, high-end kitchen facility.
With talented chefs.
Yes. I mean, it's beautiful. I wish we could be on site there filming it, because it's amazing.
Yeah, it is a very, we are blessed. We have a very lovely space, Holy Family in Caridad de Porres. That was their original location, or the location that they originated with. And so we're lucky to have that. And we have a talented team of cooks and chefs who are teaching these individuals how to be professionals in a kitchen. So those two things in combination really help. We feed kids in after-school programs at Boys and Girls Clubs. That's really important. We try really hard to hit the spectrum of individuals who are in need of food. And then that last piece that, like I said, three kind of programs in one is our catering. We have a catering, Caridad Catering, Food for the Social Good. It is a catering program where an individual, a company, a corporation, a nonprofit can hire Caridad to cater their event. And the money that is earned, the profit from that, goes right back into feeding and training individuals. And so it's been great. We have a system now where we hire our kind of star alumni to work in that. We have a great brand new banquet supervisor, David Rogers, and he is our banquet supervisor. And he was an alumni, which is great. And he has a great story to share just about his journey and recovery and his path into this career through Caridad. So we love that. We love that we can have that social enterprise piece of it, that we can make some earned revenue, but while you're eating, you're feeding and training people. And I think that feels good for people.
I think it feels really good. And I have a lot of questions about each one of those.
Okay.
So like for the, but that was a great overview of, that's why I call it the whole green enchilada or sustainable circle. I mean, it's a very important. In terms of hunger in our county, in our state, I know you know the numbers, and I like saying them so that people are aware, our listeners are aware of how really horrific it is in and around the Southwest.
Yes. So you're putting me on the spot. So I'm going to pull through my memory bank to the best of my ability. I believe 1 in 4 adults are food insecure.
Right.
And 1 in 5 children in Arizona are not sure where their next meal is coming from. Again, food insecure. So some really riveting numbers. I like to tell people, go to the playground. And if there's 10 kids there, there's 2 that are hungry, that they don't know where their food's coming from.
And especially in Tucson, that anybody would go to bed hungry.
Right.
There are hundreds of thousands of us that don't want that to happen and don't quite know exactly how to do it. But when you go to Caridad, there's an answer.
There is. And I wish I could say that Caridad is filling this huge hole. We're filling a piece of this huge hole. And I think that's what's hard. We get calls all the time from Marana, Avra Valley, Corona de Tucson, Vail, Sahuarita, and they're like, is there a meal site here? And there isn't. And so we're looking at ways as we grow, how do we expand out to those other networks where there are a hungry individual or a hungry family doesn't have to ride a bus 15 miles. They don't have to walk 3 miles. They have something in their network or community that can support them.
And hopefully use this as a model, because it really does have so many critical components of actually feeding the hungry and then getting people that are in the program to find jobs. I think that for food, and tell me if you agree with this, for food service and food prep and training someone to be sous chefs or whatever, it's one of the few areas left where you don't have to have a college degree and you can become wildly successful.
Yeah,
would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you pointed that out, because when you look at different industries that are growing right now, the culinary industry, food service industry, hotel restaurant management industry, that is growing exponentially. Like, we can't keep up. And that's part of what Caridad does with our training program, is that we help to sort of provide that education and component to that market. But it is also the lowest paying industry, and it's the only industries where you don't have to have even a high school education. So you're at this weird moment in this in our kind of realization right now that, okay, so we're training these people, but you know, government and corporate America says, oh, they're only worth $8.05 an hour. And no, they're not. And how can you live a life and pay for your bills and be successful and sustainable that way? So we're sort of twofold, putting people out into the industry and then advocating for higher paid wages. The Division of Labor just changed who can work as exempt or non-exempt. And so I think that's really going to change this industry and how people. I hope it's going to help. I think it's drastically going to change. I think what it will do is it's advocating for people who have been marginalized. You can pretty much have nothing. You don't have to have that insecurity of, I don't have a GED or a high school degree, and I can become a chef and I can be wildly successful and do well for myself. It's not attached to how much money I spent on a college education.
Right, And it's so doable.
Yeah.
What about the application process? And do you have more applicants than you can fill?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how does that whole thing go? Who's looking for this kind of work?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I would say our number one advertising outlet right now is Craigslist. We post.
Awesome. I love the whole modern world. I admit it. I do.
Sometimes with Craigslist, it can be a tiny bit flaky in the sense that some people are just on there surfing and looking. So we have anywhere between 12 and 15 spots available every 10 weeks for people to come and learn and graduate from our program. We have on average about 55 applicants per those 12 to 15 spots. Now, the application is online, 18 or older. We at this juncture take anybody who wants to make a change in their life and be a professional. There are some restrictions, and I'm happy to talk with people in general about those, but everything from the beginning of the application process online to our group interview, our individual interview, and then we mimic what the industry mimics. It's called a stage. It is a working interview. It's 6 hours in the kitchen with our team and a mentor.
Really?
Yeah. Is this what you want to do? So I think, unfortunately, the Food Network has made it look like Giada's Kitchen or Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay, and it's not quite that, and we don't want it to be that. I think Giada's great, actually.
I do, too. But it took her a while to get there.
It took her a while, and I'm like, oh, we all don't have that lovely Italian kitchen you're cooking out
of. Exactly. And we all don't look like Giada, let's be honest.
No.
I love looking at her.
Oh, I know. I was telling my husband, I said, no wonder she sells. Look at the angle. And they have just the right angle, just below her neck, if you know what I mean. So they get to go through this whole process where it's a process of self-discovery for them. Is this what they want to do? And once they've done it, what I think is really different than other programs throughout the nation like ours is they then are recommended for our program. At that point, they invest. So it's not a fee. We don't charge them. It's $25 investment into the program saying, I'm ready. I want to make this change. When they graduate, they get $50 cash back. So everyone, you know, will say, well, I thought you were a free program. We are. You're investing in yourself and your future. And this doesn't always work for people. They will not pass their drug test, or they won't make it through the program and drop out. And so, but the people who do make it through, their investment is returned not just in $50, but in the skills and the training and the job and life modifications that they've made to be a successful employee in the workforce.
And there's a lot of research about having skin in the game.
Yes.
And that's a good thing to do. You have to say, I'm willing to invest this, and I'll get double my money back if I do what I say I'm going to do and
Absolutely.
Commit to.
And $25 can be a barrier for some people.
A lot. Going to bring that up.
Yeah. So we will work with people. We first say, what can you invest? And then we have donors who are willing to match those funds. But I'll tell you, individuals who want to be in the program, they figure it out. And it's everything from one gentleman said, I just bought a pack of less of cigarettes per week for 5 weeks. And I thought, that was his skin in the game, and I appreciate that. And I said, and as a second piece of that, you smoked a little less, which is great,
which
too.
Is also good. And for a single mom, it can be, am I going to do this, or am I going to buy diapers or food? I mean, people, they don't have to understand. I invite people to remember that $25 doesn't come easily to many, many thousands of people everywhere in this country
and
in our very own city.
What I think for the, let's just say the average American, it's 5 lattes from Starbucks.
Right.
I think that's not too bad. But then you look at someone who's food insecure, who's dealing with child support or lack thereof, and it's a big deal. And so we don't want that to be a barrier.
To feed. I know.
Right.
That's really great.
Yeah.
But what do you do during that 6 hours? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So an individual comes in, they do a little bit of paperwork, the average type paperwork, everything from if you're sick, when you don't come, so they know right from the get-go. When you're in the kitchen, we're working with food for people who are typically not always healthy. That's not the case for everyone, but we want to make sure we're putting out healthy food, therefore you have to be healthy. They do a math assessment during that time, so it just allows us to see where they are. It doesn't prevent them from getting
in. It's not like a pass or fail.
Nope.
It's information that you have to help them.
So that we can get tutors. We have a couple math tutors who love to come in and teach our students. And people will think, I'm cooking, I don't need math. Oh, but you do.
Oh, but you do.
Yeah, so you need to know
measuring, all of that stuff.
All of that. So, you know, you can make a meal for four at home, but how are you going to make that into a meal for 250 in this commercial kitchen? And then they do a reading and writing assessment. Again, not a pass or fail, but for us to be able to see where they're at. I would say our national exam, it's the ServSafe national exam. They do need to pass that. It's a very traditional test, which I hate. It does not take into account different learning styles of different individuals. But the reading writing is at about an eighth grade level. So we assess that to say, do we need to help in some way?
Right.
And if that's the case, then we want to work with people like at Literacy Connects, or again, high school English teachers who want to tutor. And so then we can work with them on that. And I will say that none of that has ever prevented someone. Now, the nerves of looking at math or the nerves of doing a reading writing assessment can be very hard for people, especially those who have not done well in a traditional school
setting. Right.
So they do all that paperwork, then they're shown the kitchen. So they get, I say dolled up, but it's hairnet on, your cooking cap on, your apron on. You learn how to wash your hands from the get-go, and then you're plugged right in as if you're a student or a member of our team. And at that point, then our mentor, who is a current student in our program or an alumni who's working in our kitchen, really takes you through what is a typical day like. And wherever they are in that day, that's what they're working on. So if it's fish week and we're doing fish demos, they'll learn about fish that day. Or if it's egg cookery week and they're doing flipping of eggs, that student applicant will be flipping eggs. But it's an opportunity for our staff to get to know the person, ask questions like, where do you see yourself in 3 years? Where do you want to work? And these are all questions that we lead up to. Because it's important that people see themselves somewhere.
Yes.
Visualization is huge. So we
have
want
a dream.
Them, right. We want them to say, and people will say, well, it's in 10 weeks. I don't really know. I'm like, 10 weeks goes in a snap.
Oh my gosh. It's so, like Merry Christmas. That's how I feel right. Someone said it's the middle of June today. I'm like, yes, remember. Happy New Year.
Yes, exactly. But tomorrow it will be Thanksgiving. So we take them through that, and then they go through some cleaning drills. They eat lunch with our team. And it's funny, we've discovered a lot about people in those 6 hours. I will say most times people will self-eliminate because they're like,
that's what I was going to ask you. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
You don't set them up for failure.
Right.
You set them up for success because leaving can be success.
Right. And they will say, it's so hot in the kitchen. Is it always hot? Or I don't like to do dishes. Do I have to? Yes.
Right. I don't like chopping.
Yes. Or
and I don't like chopping. And you have to chop a lot.
Yes. Right. Yes. There's lots of chopping. So we also have had people who are vegans and vegetarians and prefer not to work with animal protein. And that's the bulk of our protein is chicken, lamb, pork, beef. And so we get large donations of pigs from a pig farmer that's in Southern Arizona. And so that's very hard for me to say, like, no, you can't be part, or yes, you can be part of our program, but no, you don't have to work without those proteins.
Right.
No, you need to be successful. Yes. Unless you're going to one of the 4 vegan restaurants in Southern Arizona, you're going to have to know how to chop chicken.
Right.
So people will self-eliminate.
You don't have to eat it. You just have to cook
it. Yes.
Yes.
So,
I can see that. Well, that's to me, that's one of the most interesting takeaways for me of the show, because I didn't know about that part.
Yeah.
And it is. It sounds to me all about ensuring their success.
Yeah.
Either in making the right decision or saying, yeah, this is it. I'm going to stay the course.
Yes.
What about food sourcing? You said you get donations, and I know when I was there, because we have to fit in 2 more things.
Okay,
food sourcing, and then I really want to talk about, I'll remember the second thing. But
okay,
it's,
I'll start with
The catering and the kinds of food that people can expect, because I think that's important for listeners to think out of the box when you might want a caterer.
Yeah,
and what is it's beautiful, wonderful, prepared.
Of course.
So what kind of local sourcing, local partnerships?
Yeah. I would love that. So I'll talk first about food sourcing as it applies to the meals we feed daily to those in need.
You have to have that food every day.
We do. Yeah. We do. So, you know, I would say about 80 to 85% of everything that we put out free to the public is donated. And
you're
that,
kidding.
No. Yeah. So, you know, our chefs will tell you it looks like Chopped, the show Chopped, if you're familiar with that, where it's a mystery basket and then you have to put it together to make like this whole complete meal. So
hopefully not some as obscure items as they try to put.
No, like star fruit and squid.
How can I make this at a good meal out of what's been donated?
Yeah, and I think you have to think about also that's recognizable. So again, thank you Food TV or Food Network, but now it's like this obscure, strange taco with squid. Well, the average human being doesn't want to eat a squid taco.
I don't.
No,
I don't even want to talk about it on the show, actually.
Okay, I'm
just kidding.
So our chefs are about 7 to 10 days out. They can tell like what's coming in, what are the patterns, how do we know what's going to come in. People will bring us like, you know, little cans, your 14-ounce cans of beans, and we can't utilize those. We use number 10 cans. We use large batches, 50-pound bags of onions, those types of things. So a lot of that type of stuff will come directly from supermarkets. So that's really great. We get protein sources. Like I said, we have a pig farmer who absolutely adores us. And every once in a while, we'll just come and drop off a pig that he slaughtered and the U of A has processed it. And then we get it. So we really count on those donations, those larger bulk donations to be able to get us through. Our chefs are creative in coming up with what is recognizable, what tastes good, what's not too spicy. But mirrors the USDA My Plate. So there's a protein, there's a starch, there's fruits and vegetables. So from that, that other 15 to 20% is made up through Shamrock. That's our current supplier. And then probably within the last 18 months, and you may be aware of this, but the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona has a farmer's market, the Santa Cruz River Farmer's Market. And we have created a partnership with our farmer's market and their team that anything that doesn't sell at market, we will buy at wholesale pricing as a second. And that has given our students and
there
the
it
public.
Is again. It's the whole loop. Yes. That's such a plus.
It's such a plus. So if you think about the loop, as the farmers are getting another outlet for their meal, they're not just, or their food, they're not just having to take it back and feed it
to
their stock.
They're going to be guaranteed that they can get it sold.
Yes. So that's been great. It also allows our students to see whole local foods that are nutrient dense. And that's been really interesting for our students to be like, I had no idea okra grew in Southern Arizona. It does actually really well. Okra.
Really well.
It's very
right,
plethora.
Right.
Or there's a plethora of okra. So that's been a great thing. And it's, so I think for us, it's twofold. Better, higher nutrition, local foods going out into the community, our students touching, feeling, manipulating local foods. And that's been really important. So that's our two big ones. We will kind of sub things as we need to. If we just can't find that right thing to make the right mashed potatoes, we will figure it out. But pretty much, yeah.
Is it harder in the summer?
You know, it is not. Well, tell me.
In terms of getting produce.
Oh, no. Lots of tomatoes and peppers. We do have to tell the farmers from time to time.
And cucumbers and melons. There's
absolutely
a lot of things that really
watermelons,
do well here.
Okra.
Yes.
Okra's coming
yes,
back
okra.
Up.
Yes, okra.
Yes. No.
Squashes. I mean,
yeah.
They all do
no,
well
no.
here.
So it's actually very, the farmer's market produce is beautiful. Sometimes winter is hard because just a lot of greens, a lot of mustard greens, and that's hard. That's a hard sell for people
who are
a lot of kale. Yeah. Lots of chard.
I'm so over kale. It's okay. There has to be one, Mrs. Green.
Oh, kale, yeah. So
oh, kale, yeah. It's like, I don't even like it in my smoothie.
So that's sort of our how we make the whole puzzle to put food out. And then we have to purchase food. I mean, like I said,
so we have
to purchase sandwich meat, but we get bread. We got lots and lots of bread for our sack lunches. That's donated.
When we do food drives at Chapman with all of their dealerships now, we're doing more of money drives mm-hmm. because of the buying power
yes.
of the food bank. And
yes.
it's just like you can get $10 for every $1 donated.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for us to try to collect money instead of food.
And we're part of a network with Feeding America where they have purchasing power and they can pass that discount down
yes.
to us. So instead of you going and paying $2 for peanut butter, we can get it for 35 cents,
yes.
let's
yes.
say.
Yes, bulk.
So,
it's called bulk.
Yep.
So we have 3 minutes left. And before we go on to the catering part, I want to make sure that we talk about how to stay in touch with you. The Facebook page is Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
It is. Or you can go to Caridad. See, I said it, CaridadTucson.org, and that takes you right to us
okay.
within the food bank.
That's
website.
Really important.
Mm-hmm. CaridadTucson.
CaridadAdad, everybody, Tucson.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And you have
yep.
a Twitter, this is Food Bank Tucson. But if you mm-hmm. want to, if you're interested in the CaridadAd program, go to that website.
Mm-hmm.
What about the, and I want to talk about the show. We have two great shows coming up that I wanted to do shout outs for because I want you to have the last words.
Yeah.
But Joel McCower is the executive director, CEO, whatever, of Green Biz. And Green Biz, I've wanted Joel on my show for at least 5 years. Serendipity got in motion. He will be on the show on Saturday, June 18th. He's a thought leader extraordinaire, doing amazing things, has a new book coming out. And then on June 21st, Beth Dorsey from TMC and Janos Wilder about the partnership there and what's
That's
going
awesome.
On with food nutrition, health, wellness. So they are two good shows. That's Tuesday, our Down to Earth on the 21st. So tell us about if someone wants to get some catering.
Yeah.
You
so
make really, I saw
amazing,
stuff.
Amazing. Amazing food. Everything from sandwiches and wraps all the way up to fine dining.
We high
can
end.
Do high end. We can do as little as 15 people, as high as I think we've done 500. So it's really, what do you need? We can prepare it and you'll work with our team to create a fine experience. You can find out more at CaridadCatering.org, CaridadCatering.org. So CARIDAD catering.org. But again, we try the best that we can to supply local nutrient dense food. And that's from our farmers market. And we're working with them to create a seasonal menu.
And it's so great. Can you imagine if you're putting on an event and you have a caterer and you can do this and get great food, help support the essential cause to mm-hmm. me, as someone that has a long background in social services, the bottom line for me always, you can't teach hungry kids.
Yeah.
You have to be able to feed them.
Yes.
To my two things were hungry kids and kids with toothaches.
Yeah.
Those are my two things. They have to be fed and not, their tooth can't
hurt.
That's
a very good
point. So those are really kind of critical.
Yeah.
So everybody, I hope that you enjoyed the show as much as I did, Kristen.
Thanks for
having
me.
It was so great, and it seemed, again, like 5 minutes.
I know.
But we got a lot in, and I hope everybody checks out their Facebook page, their website, and refer someone they know. And of course, donations are always welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Make it a great green day, everybody.